One Epiphany, Sunday C. First posted January 10, 2010. Isaiah 41:7, the Lord's servant. Psalm 45:7-9, the King's wedding. Acts 10:34-38, the gospel to the Gentiles. Luke 3:15-17, 21-22, Jesus' baptism. Isaiah. The Lord upholds his servant, whom he has chosen, and in whom he delights. The Lord has given him God's Spirit. God's servant will establish justice for all nations. He will not cry, or lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Isaiah 42:23. He will faithfully enact justice. He will not fail or become discouraged until justice has been accomplished in the world, and distant lands await his law. The Lord God is the creator of the heavens and earth and everything in them. He gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. He is the Lord, and in righteousness he has called his servant. He has guided and protected his servant. God has given his servant to the people of the world as a covenant and a light to the nations, to heal the blind, to release the prisoners from the dungeon and darkness. Psalm. The psalmist says of the king on his wedding day that because the king loves righteousness and hates wickedness, God has anointed the king with oil of gladness above his subjects. The king is dressed for his wedding in robes perfumed with myrrh, aloes, and cassia. The music of stringed instruments comes forth from ivory palaces in celebration. The ladies of honor in the wedding party are daughters of kings, and the queen is adorned with jewelry of gold from Ophir, possibly India, a region famous for gold jewelry. Acts. The Lord had led Cornelius, a God-fearing Gentile Roman centurion, to send for the Apostle Peter, to tell Cornelius and his household the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:0-1:8. Meanwhile, God also prepared Peter to proclaim the gospel to Gentiles by giving him a vision and declaring that the Jewish dietary laws no longer applied. Acts 1:09-16. When Peter arrived at Cornelius' home, he began his message by saying that he had learned that God does not show partiality to anyone. Instead, in any nation, anyone who does what is right is acceptable to God. Peter summed up the gospel by saying that after his water baptism, which John the Baptizer preached, Jesus began to go throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, preaching the good news, the definition of gospel, of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Jesus had been anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and supernatural power. Jesus had traveled throughout Galilee and Judea doing good and healing all who were in bondage to Satan by the presence of God with Jesus. Luke. The people of Israel were expecting the coming of the Messiah Christ. Both words mean anointed, and they wondered if John the Baptizer was the Christ. John answered them by saying that John baptized with water for repentance and spiritual cleansing to prepare the people to receive the Messiah. John told them that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah is so much greater than John that John was unworthy to be the Messiah's most menial servant. The Messiah will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Messiah's coming will be like threshing grain at the harvest. He will separate the grain from the chaff and will gather the grain into his granary, but will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. After Jesus was baptized, he was praying when heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. A voice from heaven declared that Jesus was God's beloved Son, with whom God was well pleased. Commentary. God's word is eternal and is fulfilled over and over as the conditions for its fulfillment are met. Israel was called to be the Lord's servant, but they turned away from that call by rejecting Jesus as the promised Messiah. At his crucifixion, Jesus was the last faithful person in Israel. Even his disciples had fled from Jesus. Matthew 26:31. Beginning on Easter morning, with Jesus' resurrection, the church became the new Israel, the new people of God. The church is there to the call of God to be the Lord's servant. The ultimate fulfillment of the Lord's servant is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the example of the Lord's servant that we are to follow. God has designed this creation to accomplish his ultimate purpose of establishing an eternal kingdom of his people, who willingly trust and obey him, and thus become his servants. We are all called to be the Lord's servant. There is no greater thing we can do in this lifetime than serving the Lord. We are born into this world physically alive, but spiritually unborn. This lifetime is our opportunity to seek, find, and come to know and have fellowship with God our Creator, Acts 17:26-27, and this is only possible through faith, obedient trust in Jesus Christ, John 1:4-6. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9, through whom we have personal fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. This lifetime is our opportunity to be spiritually born again, John 3:3-5-8, to eternal life, which is only by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Notice in the text from Isaiah that the Lord gives the breath of physical life to those who live on this earth, and spirit to those who walk in obedient trust in the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:1-14. The Hebrew word means breath or wind, thus the breath of spiritual life. Notice in John 3:3-5-8, the same play on words for wind and spirit in Greek. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, God visibly anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. It was the sign God had given John the Baptizer to reveal the Messiah to him and to Israel, John 1:31-34. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could baptize his disciples with the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, John 1:31-34. Only his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. Jesus didn't baptize anyone with water. Only his disciples did, John 4:2. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a personally discernible ongoing event. If one is not certain, one hasn't been, Acts 1:9-2. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9b-1:1-15-16. God taught the people of Israel that priests, prophets, and kings were to be anointed with oil to consecrate them to God's service. They were thus known as the Lord's anointed. Anointing the king was the equivalent of crowning him. The titles of Messiah and Christ each mean God's anointed in Hebrew and Greek respectively. The Messiah Christ is the Lord's anointed Savior and eternal King. The Lord's anointing also refers to the gift, baptism, anointing of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Isaiah 6:1-1. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is also figuratively described as the oil of gladness, Psalm 4:5-7, which is quoted in Hebrews 1:9. Peter testified to Cornelius in the first presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles that Jesus was the one anointed by God with the Holy Spirit to heal spiritually. Jesus' physical healings, feedings, and resurrections were intended to show that Jesus could also, and more importantly, heal, feed, and resurrect spiritually. Jesus is the new Moses, the mediator of the new covenant testament of grace, to be received by faith, obedient trust in Jesus. Jesus initiated the new covenant at his celebration of Passover and the night of his betrayal and arrest, Matthew 26:26-28. Jesus is the light of the world, John 8:12, the light of righteousness, John 1:5-3:19-21, enlightenment, John 1:9, and eternal life, John 1:4. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed, Acts 1:9-2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?